Our sermon today comes from our epistle reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, a very popular verse for weddings and a very popular verse on love. But it actually comes for us as a conclusion to our pre-Lenten season and the 3 weeks leading up to Lent. If you remember 2 weeks ago, we saw the importance of Christian discipline in preparing for Lent, but not only preparing for Lent, but throughout our Christian life. And then last week, we saw the importance of humility with regard to spiritual pride. So in other words, if we were going to enact in our lives those spiritual disciplines that we're called to, then it's very simple for us to become prideful and look down upon others. And so we saw how we could avoid spiritual pride. But this week we come to the culminating virtue just 1 week now before Lent begins, and Ash Wednesday being this week coming up. And this culminating virtue, of course, is love, apart from which nothing matters. And that's what St. Paul is going to talk to us about today. I think in order to fully begin to comprehend love, we first have to remember that God is love. St. John the Theologian says this in his epistle. He says that God is love. He doesn't say God is like love. He doesn't say God is filled with love. He says God is love, the essence of who he is. When we talk about the fire of God or the light of God, we're talking about divine love, divine charity, the fullness of divine love. And I've said this before, but I'll say it again. If you've ever experienced a moment of love and you felt how it tears you up inside and you can't control how you feel inside, imagine multiplying that by infinity. And I guess in some sense, that would be God. God is love, right? And so we're the product of divine love, that the Trinity comes together, and in divine love, we are made, we're created. And so the ultimate goal then, if God is love and we're created as an expression of his love, then the ultimate goal of the Christian faith, of course, is to love, which joins us to God because God is love, right? So I say that because I want to stress that Lent is not about moral improvement. It's not about behaving better, right? That's not the point, behaving better. It's about growing in love. It's about growing in our love for God and each other. That way we participate in the essence of who God is. And this can only happen as we learn to spend time with our loving Father through Jesus Christ in the life of faith. I was thinking about this as Lent was approaching. I wonder how often we give time to contemplating what we could do to serve others, how we could love our brothers and sisters, and the things that we could do as expressions of love, which would make Lent come alive in our lives. You know, fasting is one thing, but loving and fasting and praying and fasting is something very different, right? So today what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at what St. Paul has to say about love. And we're going to see three things in our passage. First of all, we're going to see that love excels. Second of all, we're going to see love enables. And lastly, we're going to see that love endures. So let's look first of all at how love excels. If we look at the words that St. Paul says, the first thing he says is this. You may be a persuasive speaker. Now I'm paraphrasing. You may be persuasive in your words. You may speak with the voice of angels. You may be Billy Graham preaching to a million people at one time. And he did that. I saw pictures of it. It was incredible. You may have a tongue that can speak with eloquence like St. John Chrysostom. They called him Golden Tongue. And you can say words that move men. But if you have not love, he said, you're just like a cymbal that's clanging. Picture a two-year-old who gets a drum set for Christmas. That's what he's saying. You're just an annoying noise. All the golden words that you can come up with, if they're not backed with love, mean absolutely nothing. And have we not seen this with people who present themselves with this great speech, and you watch how they live their lives and the way they talk down to people and hurt people and destroy people, and you say to yourselves, what does it matter then? That's what St. Paul's saying. So love excels words. Love excels spiritual gifts. He says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries. In other words, if I could foresee the future and fully comprehend everything that God has planned and is doing, and the fullness of his whole plan for salvation of mankind, if I knew all of it, without love, it doesn't matter. Your spiritual gifts don't mean anything unless they're backed with love. Love for God, love for each other. Love excels spiritual gifts. As a matter of fact, love fuels spiritual gifts. Love fuels words and speech. Thirdly, love excels faith. Though I have all faith that I could remove mountains, I'm nothing. In other words, what he's saying, when the passages, we read these passages about if you had faith to move mountains, a lot of times what commentators think that passage means is that when you come to the great mysteries of God and you can resolve them, the mountains, you can move mountains with faith, right? You can resolve those within yourself through a life of faith. He's saying, even if you can do that, in all the hardships of life through your faith, come to a place where you can find peace in that. But if you don't have love, it doesn't matter. Because love excels faith. And finally, he says this, love excels charity. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, it's pointless if we don't have love. Although I can't imagine giving your body to be burned for the faith that you don't possess love. But his point is that it doesn't matter how much service you give. Sometimes you find people who are very difficult people and treat people very poorly, but they're wrapped up in a lot of ministries in the church. They'll run the food and giving to the poor, or they'll be in the choir or whatever. And ultimately you find that without love, all of that charity and giving that they offer, it's pointless. It doesn't mean anything. It's like this idea of virtue without love, if that was even possible. It's like a car without fuel. What good is it? It just sits and rots, right? It's like, imagine a computer without power. I got a beautiful, beautiful computer. Well, it's no power, right? If I got a lamp without a bulb, it may look good during the day, but it's not going to do much, right? And that's the point that St. Paul's trying to make, that love excels all of these other spiritual giftings, faith and all of this. Love excels all of it. And the point of Christianity is love. It's not getting better. The cool thing about Christianity is that love produces the fruit of moral improvement. That what tags along for the ride is moral improvement. The goal isn't moral improvement. The goal isn't I'm going to steal less. The goal is I'm going to love people. And when I truly love somebody, I'm not going to take from them. That's what comes along is the fruit. So we're to pursue a life of love because love excels. Secondly, love enables. A woman, when she became Orthodox, she said that she was asked, like, why did you become an Orthodox Christian by the priest? And this is a true story. Another priest told me this. And she said, well, I saw a person berate you to your face the first time I was here. And I saw how you responded with love. And she said, I knew then that there was something to this faith that you had. There was something to Orthodox Christianity. See, love enables. When he talks about love is patient, love is kind, it doesn't boast, it's not envious. What he's saying is that love enables these things. That when we focus on love first, then we can be patient. Then we can be long-suffering. Have you ever noticed? Now, I've put my parents through some trials in my life, okay? I was not the easiest teenager. I'm not the easiest adult. Some of you know that about me. And yet, somehow, my parents still loved me. They were able to bear with me through my adolescence. How? Love. When we talk about this idea of being patient, we're patient because we're fueled by love. When you actually care about somebody, you can put up with them. When you put them first, when you actually think about their needs before your own, you can care about them. I need to do a better job of this. The idea of being kind, right? Love is kind. Kindness takes an act of the will, and the will has to be actuated by the driving force of love. Love drives this force of being kind or kindness. Love takes away envy. You know, imagine you look at somebody who's successful and you're actually happy for them. And I don't mean you're pretending to be happy. You actually are. You're like, oh my gosh, this is the greatest thing. I'm so happy for you. It's the opposite of envy. When St. Paul says love doesn't envy, it means we're not walking around looking at what everybody else has and saying, why don't I have it? But love drives us to go, look at how God has blessed that person's life. What a wonderful thing, right? Love drives that. Love is what makes us humble. You know, we're either one of two things. We're either big-headed or big-hearted, right? We're either self-consumed or loving others. So, and I think the reason people don't get along mostly is this idea of ego, which is fueled by self-love. But when we love God and each other, the ego shrinks and humility sets in. And we're not puffed up, and we're able to serve each other and love each other. Jonathan Edwards, who is a Protestant preacher, but I love what he says here. He says, nothing sets a man so much out of the devil's reach as humility and love. Think about that. So loving in the little things, love actuates and enables us to fulfill what St. Paul is saying. Does that make sense? You know, courteousness, and he talks about love as patient and kind and courteous. Courteousness doesn't come natural to us all the time. Right? We have these words now, you know, we call people Karens and stuff, because you see how people are. They the way they treat each other. Have you seen this online? The way, you know, you see a lady in the store screaming and berating because the line's too long, or people in the airport cutting each other, fighting and stuff. This is what St. Paul's addressing. He's talking about love as the primary goal, as the primary force driving you forward, right? Love enables you to live this way. And finally, love endures. It's the one thing that won't get burned up in the fire of judgment. Love. Love is like gold. It just gets purified and it remains. And the more you practice it, the finer it gets, the more pure. Listen to what St. Paul says. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes in all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Sometimes maybe we feel like we failed when we show mercy to somebody who's rude to us, because our driving force is to strike back and to get them back and to get even. And maybe we feel like, oh, I should have done something. I should have said something. But when we love them instead, when we're kind, when we don't respond in kind, that's what won't fail. That driving force won't fail. St. Paul says everything else is going to fail. Prophecies, they're going to fail. They're going to go away. Everything else is going to go away. But the one thing in the kingdom of heaven that will remain for all time, because God is love. Do you see? I wonder sometimes, how do you get rid of an enemy? Well, I guess there's two ways. You can murder them, or you could turn them into a friend. Love them, right? St. Paul is talking about this. He's talking about love as the driving force of Christianity. And he says, without love, he says it this way. When I was a child, I thought like a child. Now, how do children think? What's one of the first words the kids say? Mine. This is mine. Give it to me. And we discipline our children for this. No, you can't be this way, right? When I was a child, that's how I thought, St. Paul says. When I was immature and young in my faith, I thought like a child. And I spake as a child, and I acted like a child. And when we treat other people that way, we're acting like children. When our life is self-consumed, what's next for me, right? There was a martyr dying at the stake with flames, and they were burning him for his faith in Christ. And this is what he said. This is his final quote. Farewell, all the world. Farewell, faith. Farewell, hope. Welcome, love. Welcome, love. And Paul concludes this way. Now abideth three things. Faith, hope, and love. The final great three things. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Because love adores. Love powers and fuels all of the other virtues. So I'm going to conclude our series, which I wasn't planning on, but it just kind of turned into that. Of the last 3 weeks, and just say that we're called to adopt a Christian life of discipline. We're not called to exist, we're called to live, intentionally, to live for God. We're called to avoid a life of Christian pride that comes from the discipline. You know, I haven't eaten meat in a week, but look at that guy, he's got meat on his pizza. I'm much more holy than that person, right? Avoid that, Christian pride, and then finally cultivate a life of Christian love. If you focus on this, and your Lent is going to come alive. And the resurrection on Easter will be something so special and magnificent in your life. You'll want to do it every year. In the name of the Father.